In the last part, I spoke about the importance of listening to our gut, and not always to confirm that what is on our minds is what we should do, but sometimes what we shouldn't do. Sometimes our spirits can actually fool us into doing what is wrong. Since we aren't just biological beings, our emotions can push us in the wrong directions. Then, to justify what our emotions want to happen, we use the logical part of our minds to try and rationalize our emotions. This is a recipe for disaster. This is when our gut tends to kick in and tell us no. The problem comes when we override our gut, when we talk ourselves into something. If you have to talk yourself into doing something, it's probably the wrong decision. Now, I'm not talking about doing something like a cost-benefit analysis, where you're looking at finances and how this decision will affect them. That's a good thing. I'm talking about justifying a decision that, if you were giving advice to someone else, you'd be telling that person, don't walk, run from this. We need to have the discipline to control our emotions and our actions. If not, our lives for many years could be affected. Let me ask you a question, and this question can be pondered on by the ladies, but it's definitely directed more towards the men. Guys, would you walk into a restaurant and grab food off a plate that someone else has already slobbered on and eat it? Would you eat this sloppy used food and then pay for it for the next 18 years? Would you eat even the finest meal you ever had and pay for it month after month for the next 18 years? What about the rest of your life? And what if I told you this meal could actually cut your life short? If I asked this question, every guy out there would give a resounding no. But what if I told you this is what a lot of you guys are doing? How many of you have had sex with a girl who has slept around at school or at work? What if she gets pregnant? You want to pay for this sloppy meal the next 18 years? How about the rest of your life? You want some disease in your body for the rest of your life? You want some disease in your body that there may not be a cure for? And many of these diseases cause cancer. Cancer of the testicles, prostate, with oral sex leading to cancer of the mouth and the throat. How many years are you willing to lose off your life for this sloppy meal? Or even a lot of sloppy meals? How many less years do you want? And how young are you willing to die to have sex with some dirty used woman? Don't kid yourself. Your sin will find you out. Your sinful actions, no matter how pleasant or fun they seem at the moment, have consequences that sometimes can last a lifetime. And another area that can have some of the worst consequences is what comes out of our mouths. I'm going to read now from the New King James, even though I like the old King James. Unfortunately, in this day and age, many of the words are archaic, and the sentence structure can be hard to follow. So I like to read from a translation that's a little more modern English. Now, what I like to do is look at the newer translations and then compare them to the old King James, the original King James. I've definitely found that some of these translations tend to wander a little bit from the original text. So it's always good, if you like a more modern English version, to have the old, trusty, original King James around and do a little comparison. This is what I like to do, because I want to make sure that you're getting something that is true to the original Word of God, how He wants us to read it and see it. So let me read from the New King James. This is James chapter 3. Let's read verses 1 through 10. And again, we're talking about speech, the tongue, and just how bad it can be. Verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, which means the likeness of God, being similar. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. We have to watch our actions. We have to watch what we do. We have to discipline our bodies, our minds, our spirits. One of the hardest things to do is discipline what we say, is to keep our mouths shut when we're angry, when we feel like we've been victimized, when we feel like what we have to say is important. The Bible says we can tame all sorts of beasts, but we can't tame our tongue. Friends, we need to keep everything in line. We need to keep our actions disciplined, our mouths disciplined, our spirits disciplined, our thoughts disciplined. Everything needs to be disciplined. It's a very difficult thing to do, but this is what we have to do in order to prepare ourselves for our true purpose.